on the cross. In John chapter 18, verse 36 to 37, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And Pilate said, you are a king then. And Jesus answered, "You're right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this time I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of, of truth listens to me." So here we see in the situation that Pilate wasn't really concerned about Jesus, but he was concerned that he was a king and that he would come to try and take away the Roman occupation or even take away from the Jews and be someone that would stand against him. But Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this earth." And I want to encourage us here today is that our Lord Jesus today is king, and he's not the king of this earth, but he's the king of the kingdom, and we belong to that kingdom as we believed upon him. But we see very clearly that Jesus separated his life from politics. He lived under Roman occupation, and I don't know if you understand, under Roman occupation, it was a very cruel, authoritarian outworking of, can I say, darkness that was at that time. If you didn't get in, if you got in the way, they would harm you and even put you to a place that they might even beat you, and at times that they would just crucify you. It was a cruel, oppressive outworking of darkness. But Jesus comes and into this darkness, and he comes and he brings the light of the kingdom. And he came first to come and teach us God's ways. And we see through the Gospels, we see Jesus doesn't come with philosophy. He comes with life, and he comes to a place where he says, "I want to show you the life of God, and I want you to experience the life of God." And amazingly, when he comes and he challenges the people, what are some of the key things that he comes and brings? Yes, he teaches us about the kingdom, but he comes with that instruction, and he says, "Deny self, take up your cross, and follow me." And for me, that is still pertinent today. The same Jesus that died on the cross, that's living today as the living God, is saying to us that deny self, take up the cross, and follow me. And we see that with the rich young ruler, where he wanted to experience the kingdom of God and to experience the kingdom. The Lord said, "Go and sell everything. Give it all to the poor." And then he said, "Come and follow me." And the young man couldn't go and do that because he had great wealth and he didn't want to lose those things, and he didn't realize what he would inherit if he went to follow Jesus. Maybe he would have been another disciple. Maybe he would have been an apostle. I don't know. But that's the reality of this challenge that God gives us to here today. So I want to just say this aspect that Jesus comes, he comes with his kingdom, and he says to you and I, deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. Even Peter, when he was in that place where he denied the Lord three times, the Lord said he would deny him, and the Lord reinstated him and said, "Do you love me?" Then challenged him on his love that he had for the Lord and his aspect of the work that he would do to go and work with his people. But the last little bit that he said to him, he said, "Follow me." And I come to you today as we come to learn about the Lord and about him coming to teach us, we need to follow Jesus. There are many voices out there. There's lots of news, and we've been bombarded with so much information, and we have to be so wise today to filter what's actually coming across into our hearts and into our minds that we don't get drawn down into the situation. We've still got to follow Jesus. And I come to encourage you today, as you're a disciple and I'm a disciple of the Lord, even though we have different roles in his church, we are still called to follow him. So we are called to be separate, and God wants us to be separate and to follow him. So as we get to this message today, I want to go to, if you get in your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Remember, the theme of the message today is, "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' And we see this is how Jesus came and spoke to them and gave us we see here in Luke, the shortened portion, rather the larger portion in Matthew, of a pattern of how to pray. But very, very important, Jesus was practicing prayer. And when he had finished, one of his disciples came and said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So obviously, John the Baptist was actually teaching his disciples. I don't know if it was necessarily prayer, but he was teaching his disciples how to follow God. So yeah, Jesus responds to them. And I ask the question is, why did Jesus not before that come and teach his disciples how to pray? And I find this an amazing aspect of the nature of God. And the goodness is that he practiced prayer. You see, the lifestyle of Jesus, it was one of prayer. He came, and you will see right through his ministry that he left his disciples and he went out. And he went and found time with his Father and he prayed. And I think that was the strength and the power of his ministry, that he was praying. And it was something, his connection with his Father by the Holy Spirit, he knew the value and the importance for the kingdom of God was prayer. But the disciples weren't praying. It was only through observation when they saw the Lord Jesus and God started to work in their hearts and said, "No, there's something missing in our hearts that's in our Lord, and he's doing it and we not do it." And only then did it get to the place when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," that the Lord came and revealed, "I'll show you how to pray." And I wonder if that disciple, we're not told who it was, if that disciple didn't come and ask the Lord to come and teach him to pray, would we have the Lord's Prayer today? I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe the Lord will brought it out in some other time. But I want to just say to you is that this question that the Lord brings us to and the nature of God is that he wants us to come to a place that we see the need to pray. And we need to come with our hearts and say, "No, Lord, will you teach us to pray?" And I come here today, and I really believe God is asking us the same question today, is that you might be, and I believe you are, one that does pray, but have you ever asked the Lord, "Teach me to pray"? Because I really believe this aspect that connects heaven and earth is this aspect that God has given to every single believer. It's not a gift. It's an outworking of a relationship that we have with the living God. It's called prayer. It's a higher form of communication. You're speaking to the divine. It's something that many do in difficulty, but is in a normal outworking of a relationship and seeing more of it. It's a connection of heaven to earth. And I believe the Lord really wants to teach us. And I've come to encourage us, and I really believe God wants to bring us into a place of maturity, he wants to teach us to pray. You know, you need to evaluate it. I can't tell you where you are. And you need to look at your own life and say, where are you in your level of prayer? I'm not looking about the time that you're giving to it. Are you weak in prayer or are you strong in prayer? You know, one of the things Jesus also tested his disciples with was their level of faith. And he many times said, "But you have such little faith." And then, "But why were you unbelieving and why were you doubting?" He was looking and evaluating this essence of the kingdom. And I want to just say this aspect of us working prayer is very important. We look at the saints of old and we look at the great men and women of old. You'll find one of the key aspects of their lives was prayer. You know, John Wesley said, "If I haven't prayed for 4 hours, I cannot get my work done." Now, if we pray 5 minutes and we think, "Well, I can't get my work done," that's the truth of our busy lifestyles that we have in the modern world, is that we get caught up so much in doing stuff that we forget this essence. Jesus went up in the early mornings to go and pray. And we see the evidence of the power of God that was in his life. So I want to just say is I really believe God wants to, in this family, he wants to teach us to pray that we can go forward and do what he's called us to do. Many, many years ago when we had conscription in this nation, I was called up to go to, I think it was Forsyth in Middleburg. And you go there young, and you go with this enthusiasm to think, I'm going to go and learn things about the military. We get there, and the first thing they get there, they put these browns on you, and they don't always fit so nicely. So you eventually go through a process to get them to fit, and then you get boots, and then you have all, at that time, you know, we had long hair. It was in fashion at that time, and they shaved us. And we walked in as a platoon, and we walked out, didn't know who everyone was. You couldn't find our platoon. But I remember we lined up, and the corporal got us together, and now we know how to stand up together in the line, and we got the uniforms, and he said straight out to us, he said, you may have a uniform, but you're not a soldier, because you need to be trained. And you need to learn how to behave in the military. You need to know how to be under obedience. And you need to learn how to use your weapons. And then you'll be a soldier. And I want to say to you, there's something about prayer is that you may be a believer and you might be dressed in Christ, but maybe you're not ready for battle because you do not know the weapons of your warfare. And I'm telling you, that's a scary thing. And I believe that's a problem in the church. The church does not know how to pray. And I'm not talking about us, but I'm talking about that church. It does not know how to pray. I think what the devil has been so clever that he's actually undermined the power of prayer and the importance of prayer, that you find the most of the Western world today that prayer is not important. We had an opportunity a few years ago to go to America, and we were sitting in this massive church. And I'm not being critical anyway, just observation is that they had one prayer meeting for the leaders a month. This is a big church, a really big church. And we see in the early church, they were regularly meeting in their homes to pray. It says one of them, they were devoted to prayer. And I'm telling you, that is the heart of God, is that we got to learn how to pray. But I want to take over today and maybe over three Sundays. I want to just get us back. And I want to put some weapons in your hands and prepare you and give you some tools to be able to pray correctly. Because I really believe the Lord wants us to be effective in prayer. What's the good of praying and it's not effective? I believe God is a God who answers prayer. He hears every prayer. But if you honestly, and I'll be honestly with you, when last did you have a prayer answered? Yes, we have the intercessory group, and God's doing incredible things there. But I want to just say, when you made a request to the Lord, when last did you have that you can come without a doubt and stand in front of you and testify, God answered my prayer? Most of us are lacking in that area. Am I right? We say prayers, and it seems like it goes up to the roof, but are we connecting? Because I believe God answers every single prayer, and we need to be in a place and doing the things according to the scriptures. And when we do it His way, I'm telling you now, this effectiveness of the kingdom of God to be working in each and every one of our lives. You know, I want to say this is very important on God's heart, that God wants you to be able to, not only for you to be in a place of effectiveness in your prayer life, but also your children and the people around you, that when you pray for people, there's answers. There's answers. And you know, we've got into a place that, well, maybe God said no. And I want to just say, maybe He's saying yes every time, and we've got to believe that. And I want to encourage us and take us forward. So one of the key aspects of Jesus' life was that He prayed. The disciples prayed. They didn't pray before He was crucified, but afterwards they prayed because they knew the importance. If they wanted God to help them, they needed to pray. The early church prayed, and over the centuries, the church has been praying. John Wesley, the revival that took place in England in the 1700s, he made this statement. He said, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. And we ask, is this true? And I want to just say it is true. If we don't pray for our government, we will have what the world gives us. And we got to stand. I remember, except I can't remember who it exactly was, but it was someone saying to the American people, you have the president who you pray for. And if you don't pray aright, you'll have someone that will be in there, it'll take the nation in a wrong direction. And we got to pray. And I'm telling you, and I cannot put it all in place and work things out, but I'm telling you, we have a responsibility to take authority and to see God put people in place. I can't always understand why we see so much witchcraft and we see darkness going in there, but I think we have a responsibility to do that. You know, in Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says here that God gave Adam the authority to rule over the earth. And when they succumbed to sin, Adam gave the rights of ruling and reigning to the devil. And only those rights have been given back to be over us is when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus disarmed Satan and all his authority, but it's only in us believing in him that authority is taken away. And that's the warfare that we have, that the evil one's still trying to take authority over us because we haven't been renewed in our thinking. God wants to renew us in our thinking that Jesus has disarmed. But you know, when you look at the world, and a lot of people will tell me that God is in total control. Yes, he is. He holds the universe together. There's no one else that can hold the universe together but him. But when I look at what happens in the world and I see the atrocities that take place, when I see, like in the Second World War, the millions of people that died, the Holocaust that took place, I look at the genocides that have taken place. In Rwanda, a million people died. The Cambodia, the Southwest African genocides that are taking place. These things that are happening, do you want to tell us that our God is in charge of that? I don't necessarily believe that. Yes, he works it for the good, but I don't believe he's an orchestrator of those things. I might be wrong. You can come and talk to me afterwards about these things. But I wanted to say we have a responsibility to have an influence of the kingdom on this earth. And we can, through Christ, begin to rule and reign into our circumstances and do these things. You know, I was watching a wildlife program this week. The kids came home after school and we were just relaxing together. And this wildlife photographer was down in South Georgia, down below the Falkland Islands. And it was an old whaling station there. So there's a lot of wildlife that's come back. It's the penguins and the sea lions and all the albatrosses and that. But there's a penguin called a macaroon penguin. And the macaroon doesn't go onto the beaches. They seem to go up the cliff faces into the grasses there and go and do their breeding there. But then they got to come back once they fed their chicks. They got to come back and got to run the gauntlet past the sea lion. Now the sea lion, I never knew, the sea lion also eats meat. And it was going for these macaroon penguins. So the one went there and got caught by this the sea lion. And it was grabbing and throwing it around and eventually got away, but it eventually died. But then there was this one macaroon penguin that came up to the sea lion. It's a massive animal, and the macaroon penguin must be about so high, but it stood its ground. And when the sea lion came, it pecked at it. It went for it. And the sea lion came again, and it went for it. And it went for it again. And eventually the sea lion went off. And the Lord spoke to me through that and said to me, you know, you've been put on this earth to resist the devil. Not just because when he comes against you, you are to resist him on the earth, because then he will flee from you. And it comes from James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I thought, we're not just telling the devil, we resist him. He's bigger than us, and he's stronger than us. But in Christ, we have authority over him. And when we stand up to him, and even though we might be small, he will flee. And I'm telling you, we've got to do that. Because why must we settle for darkness? Why must we settle for what the devil is taking authority over the thing? We need to arise, and it's not to go and do a protest out there. There might be a time where we need to voice through a petition and that and get our viewpoint across there. But I'm telling you, when we work together with our Father and we start to take authority again, I'm telling you now, we can push back the forces of darkness with the Holy Spirit to do those things again. And I want to say that's part of prayer. And I don't know when last you fought the fight of resisting the devil, because he's against you. He's attacking you. I'm telling you now, you might not think so, but he's tempting you. He's doing things around your family. And maybe you're just sitting back and thinking, well, God's in control. He is in control, but he's expecting you in him to take control and work and start to resist the enemy and start to work with God. I don't know if I can use Quinton as an example. May I, Quinton, just how God's provision. Quinton and Annette have been through a tough time. And they've been standing and knocking on heaven and trusting God. And God has been answering prayers, but they've had to resist the enemy where he's come in different levels to do the things. And yes, it's taken time, and there's still a fight ahead of them, but they've fought the fight, and they've got a victory cry in that thing. And you will face that sometime in your life. It might be your marriage. It might be your business. It might be your children. There's something that God's going to expect of you when things take place. You're going to have to resist the evil one and stand against him and see him flee, because the word is true. He might be a roaring lion, but he's got no teeth. He will roar at you, but he's got no teeth. He can't bite you. Don't be scared of his roar. And look, I'm human, and I'm also susceptible to these things. But as we stand together and we do it together, I tell you, God wants to give us the victory, and we want to do these things. So I come with this message of today to encourage you, is that you are the sons and daughters of God. We've been placed on earth with a mission to preach the gospel, but to push back darkness. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, and they laid hands on the sick, and they preached the gospel, and people were healed, what was Jesus' response? I saw Satan fall like lightning. He didn't talk about the healings. He saw Satan fall, because there was an authority out there that was coming down. And I'm telling you now, we have this authority. And you know, people are running away from this country. They're looking at the circumstances, they're looking at our government, and they're saying there's no hope. I'm telling you, from the natural, well, that might be the case, but I'm telling you now, we have a responsibility, and we can change this nation, and we stand together, and we're going to continue to pray, and we're going to trust our Father, and we're going to push the forces of darkness back, and we're going to push the wickedness out of this nation, and we're going to see God come through for us, and we're going to see our nation prosper. If God calls you to go somewhere else, no problem. But if we are here, we're not going to capitulate to the forces of evil and pull us down. We're going to stand up and say, this is our nation, and God's placed us here, and we're going to see the kingdom of God come here. And we're the changes, and we will bring that life. And I just want to encourage you with that. So I want to just give you some principles of prayer. As I take this time over 3 weeks, we're going to get into many different types of prayer, but I just want to give you some basic principles about prayer. So firstly, we pray to our Father. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus saying, then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus said we need to address our Father. He didn't say, pray to me. Why does he say that? Because he realized that we would be in him. We would be in Christ. And we pray to our Father by the Holy Spirit. Remember again, the Trinity starts to work, and we see the three in one working in us. And in John chapter 16, yeah, he's talking to his disciples, verse 23 to 24, of important scripture. I read from the New King James. In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I'll read it again. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Jesus says, don't ask me anything. Don't ask me. Most assuredly, he's like emphasizing, this is the truth. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So we ask our Father firstly, and Romans gets us to a place where in Romans 8 it says we call him Abba Father. He's our God that cares for us, who loves us. And David says with unfailing love, this is our Father. We are his children. And as we call upon our Father, he hears us and he wants to hear. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but call upon his name. Father, Abba Father. Call upon his name. He is the one that's supreme over the universe. And then secondly, praying in the name of Jesus in verse 24 of chapter 16 of John. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, and that your joy may be full. You see, Jesus gets to a place now where he's the mediator and he's the intercessor on our behalf and he's Lord and Savior. But for the New Testament to come in place, he says, pray in my name. This is very important because this is not something to put on. Remember when we used to sign checks and you put the name and you put the signature on? It was validating the check. This is very similar to that, is that Jesus gives us authority to use his name. This is the name of God. And in the Old Testament, they were scared to use the name Yahweh. And even today, the Jewish people call him Hashem, I think correctly. They don't reference him as Yahweh, as reverence. But here, Jesus, he says, use my name. Yes, to revere my name, but know the authority of my name. This has been given to you. And we don't understand that as believers, that God's name is being given to us to use. The authority and the power of his name. My dear wife, Nikki, can I tell the story about the dog and you walking around our neighborhood? They were walking around our neighborhood, taking the dog for a walk a few years ago. And this gentleman came up to her and I think wanted to accost her. And the dog was a puppy at the time and did nothing. It wanted to lick the person. But Nikki responded and said, get away in Jesus' name. And the man fell back. It just fell back. And I think Nikki got such a fright that he fell back. And she ran one way and he ran another way. But there's an authority. So it doesn't need qualifications to have his name and to use his name. I want to say to you that his name belongs to you. It's yours. The Lord says, it's my name, but I'm giving it to you. And I want you to use it in prayer. I want you to use its authority. I want you to use its power. It's not something that you just add on to your prayer. It's the stamp of approval. It's done when you say his name. It's not a wish. In the name of Jesus, now it's done. It's a stamp. It's sealed. You know when the king used to send post out and he used to get the wax and he put his signature ring on the thing and it's sealed in the king's seal. And when it's opened, it was the king's. It was the authority of the king. That's what you've got. You've got his name. And this is where Jesus wants us to get to. He wants us to get to a place that we would pray in his name. And I want to tell you, when you're praying, that Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Do not doubt. Yes, you can doubt and you can be full of unbelief. But Jesus said to you, you ask. Ask the Father and you will receive. My goodness, I never said that to you. But Jesus did. And if he is God, his words are true. And they don't fail. I never wrote that. He said, you will receive. You will receive. Our Father hears our prayers. That your joy may be full. Because there's a joy when you see our Father meet your needs. So I want to say, you might not have money in the bank. You might not have food in the pantry. But let me tell you, you ask your Father and you will receive. He will meet your needs. Some of you don't have retirement policies here. Thank the Lord. You can ask the Lord and he will provide. It's good to provide for that. But when you trust more in your retirement policy than rather than God, that's a problem. Because then you don't need God. And I watch the people in the poor nations. They don't have plan B. They only have God, and God comes through for them. And maybe God will strip you sometimes of all the stuff that you put your treasure in, that you can trust him, and that you can see he's a great and almighty God, that he loves you, and he answers your prayer. I just want to share, if I've shared it, the story with you, I apologize, but Dina in Burundi, in Bujumbura, they were battling financially in the church, and a way to supplement the income, they were running a little restaurant at lunchtime. And behind the church in Bujumbura, their little home, it was down a little alleyway, and the people used to come down to the restaurant, and she used to make food. But there were people living next door, And a bit of an altercation started to take place. They didn't like her cleaning all the vegetables and that and throwing the water down the alleyway that went down into a gully outside, because they weren't allowed to throw the water outside. So she wasn't allowed to throw the water out. So she couldn't get it anywhere else to go and throw this water away. So she said to the Lord, I don't know what to do, but it's your problem. I need to make money. I need to sell food. So they cook with charcoal fires. So she was cleaning the charcoal fire and moving it away. And then there was this hole in the ground. And she took some of this water out of a cup and she started to pour it in. And the water disappeared. So then she took the whole thing, all disappeared. And for 6 months, she poured the wastewater in down that hole. And it disappeared. But then the relationships were healed with the people next door. And they said, no, you can start to throw your water down the alleyway again. She went the next day, once it was healed, to go and find the hole was closed. You see, God is your provider. He will make a way in the desert for you. You know that? In the desert where there's nothing, there's no water, there's no sustenance. He will make a way for you. Our Father loves us, and we ask in Jesus' name. Just be careful also. There's some hindrances in this. Is that we need to be sure that when we pray in His name, is that we're in agreement, that we believe. There's something that we need to be doing, that our will needs to be in line with His will according to His word. And when we believe His word, God will honor His word to us. Unbelief was the thing that robbed the disciples of answered prayer. We see that many a times. Jesus says, but your unbelief, for you doubted. Why little faith? These things do get in the way of those things. Another thing that gets in the way of answered prayer is unforgiveness. You have no right not to forgive, because you've been forgiven. That's the reason why Jesus forgave you. When you ask for forgiveness, God forgave you. And He's never held back and said, I forgive you. And then He washes you and cleanses you of all unrighteousness. And if someone hurts you, forgive them. And I'm telling you, as you get older, it gets more difficult. But when Christ in you enables you to forgive, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. On the cross, God Himself died on the cross for us. And then also, when I wanted to say, I believe something, when you dishonor God in the way you live, you don't keep your word, or you have dishonorable transactions. You know, we see in the world this corruption is a dishonorable transaction, and that thing will stop God's answered prayer. God honors righteousness, and we can't allow that to continue. So those things will hinder. The next point is that we pray in the name of Jesus, not for Jesus' sake. And the old maxim has got in there that people think Jesus needs help, now we pray for Jesus' sake. That is not in the scriptures. The Bible doesn't say pray for Jesus' sake. We pray in His name, as the scripture has taught us. So we've got to ensure that we stop this. And if you do find people are doing that, don't condemn them, but help them in that time to pray in the name of Jesus. The next point is that Jesus gave us a power of attorney, the right to use name, and I've alluded to that, is that it's a legal right that Jesus has given us power of attorney to use His name with full authority. Not limited authority, but with full authority. That's an incredible privilege, and I think we need to give God thanks for that, that we have full authority to use His name. Do you know those seven sons of Sceva, when they were trying to cast out those demons in the name of Jesus? And what actually happened? The devils turned and they beat them up in the book of Acts. They were trying to use the name of Jesus, and the devils knew that they weren't believers and recognized they didn't have the authority to use, and then the devils beat them up. But we have the right, because we're believers and we follow Jesus and He's in our hearts. We have the right to use His name. So use that power of attorney. And here, this is where Jesus gives us the instruction how to use His name. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues and they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing or anything deadly, it will be no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, Jesus gives us the great commission to go and tell people with the good news of who he is and what he's done for man, and to set them free that they can walk in the liberty of the kingdom. But then he says, this is what I want you to do in my name. And that's for you and I, that we need to be start doing this thing. This is not for a specific ministry and those are so-called that are, I've got something special in the kingdom. It's for you and I to do all of this. Jesus said to us, in my name. Okay, I want you to go and do it in my name. Listen to me, go and do it in my name. Cast out demons. When last have you cast out a demon? And let me tell you, they're there. They are real. They're operational. May God open your eyes that you can discern that they're there. Whew. They might be operating in your life. You might have opened up the door through something and you've given the devil an opportunity to operate in your life. But let me tell you, you don't need someone else to pray for. You can pray for yourself. And you can cast that demon, because when you've repented and you've asked God to forgive you, he has no right to be there. But you have to cast him out. And in the authority of the name of Jesus, cast it out. You know, many years ago I was driving home and I was really feeling down. And I don't know what and how this thing actually happened. And I thought, Lord, what's going on here? This is not normal. You know, I'm not this type of person. I'm not a down person. But I was feeling depressed and all these things. And as I was driving, I just sensed the Spirit of God rise up, take authority over this thing. So I said, in the name of Jesus, spirit of depression, I tell you, get out of me in Jesus' name. Gone. I felt the joy of the Lord again. Now, can we be demonized? I don't believe the demon can come and live inside of us, but the demon can come and attach himself to you when you open the door in those circumstances. So every one of you, I want to just say, don't be fooled and say you cannot be demonized. You can. If you open the door, the devil will come. When you give him a right, he's going to take it, but you've got to take his rights back. And if, you know, you need to examine your life and say, if you're looking at things in your life that you're really battling with and you never seem to have a victory with and you've prayed to God to heal you, maybe you have a demon and you need to take authority over that thing and you set yourself free from that thing. And I'm telling you, it's such a liberating thing because you have the authority. It's the authority in the name of Jesus. Set yourself free. But then other people, you know, we don't see in the society, I think the time that Jesus was, because there's no mental institutions and we powder it up and we hide behind things that we don't recognize the outworking of darkness. The demon world. And I want to tell you, there's a reality to that. I don't know why I'm sharing all these stories today, but I think it's good. We had a group financial director when I was at Consul Glass. He had a foul mouth. He flucked like you cannot believe. And every time you went in there, he created such a spirit of fear that you thought you were an idiot. You were, what are you doing? You know, I've done this work, it's right, but he made you feel like, what do you think you're doing? And then some of our Christians got together and said, no, we've got to do something about this. So we started to take authority every time we went into his office and we had to submit something to him. And when we went in there, he was meek and mild and, you know, it was just peaceful. No, that's fine, all the thing. As soon as he went out, his secretary, did she get a lashing? Now, you see, that's the reality. And you're out in the workplace there, and I'm telling you now, don't be duped. There's stuff out there that you need to go and help people, and they might not even realize it, but Jesus, one of his major roles was casting out demons. Some of the problems that we have, sickness and disease, I'm telling you, it's a demonic authority. Not all of it, but some of it is. That is out there, and we have an authority to do that, to go and do that. And I believe the Lord wants all of us to do that. And I'm telling you, people will come to the Lord when they see that. This is the testimony that we have. If we testify to you, we tell them the good news that God has saved them. But when they are delivered, they see the power of God, they're going to come. And you might be in your office environment, and you start to, and you get someone set free, and they start to testify, I was set free from demons. I'm telling you, people say, sure. Maybe I've got a demon, can you pray for me? And people want to be set free. So I'm telling you, no, this is an incredible privilege that God gives us. We will speak in new tongues. And I really believe this is for us because we are differentiated. We see in Acts chapter 2, the differentiation of the church. The Spirit came and gave them another language. And I believe this is an evidence. But do it in the name of, if you don't, just ask the Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, God will open your mouth and you'll begin to speak in this wonderful tongue that he has for every believer. they'll take up serpents and drink anything deadly. We see with Paul when he landed on that island, of, I think it was, I can't remember the island's name, but he went off to the wreck, he picked up that bush, and there was a snake, and it was, and he threw it down into fire. And God protected him from snakes. And I believe even if the snake bites you, I believe God can actually protect you. And then anything deadly, and you know, if you know how the demonic world actually works, and we don't see it so often, but when we've been up to the DRC in that region, there's a lot of witchcraft. Many people die of poisoning. They kill people through poisoning. We don't see it in our environment so much, but there it is. It's a reality. And yeah, the scripture warns us, or protects us. It says, if you drink anything like that, you're going to be fine. It's not going to hurt you. And then lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Lay hands in the name of Jesus. These hands are to bring healing. Your and my hands are to be a testimony of who Jesus is. Go lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Don't come just to the pastor or those who seemingly are great in the kingdom. They're not. You, Jesus said to you, he sent his disciples out, you go and pray for the sick. And you know, wherever you find yourself and there's people battling with things, take an opportunity. Yes, pray, but just tell them, I'm going to lay hands on you. Do what the scripture tells you to do. I know the Bible says come to the elders to anoint you with oil, but he gives the instruction to all of us, lay hands. These hands are representative of Jesus' hands, and you put hands in the name of Jesus, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see people set free from their sicknesses. I never wrote this, folk. This is not my instruction. This is Jesus' instruction to you and I. And maybe we've fallen back because we're scared, we're embarrassed of what Jesus has given us to do. And I want to encourage us today is that we need to have a testimony out there. Yes, we can pray for the sick here, and we will pray for the sick here. But the Bible didn't say come to the church to be prayed and to be healed. The Bible says us as we out and living life out there. So I want to see you. You pray for opportunity to pray for the sick. The Holy Spirit will bring people across your path and then stand out and be bold and pray for them. It's not you. It's Jesus in you. You just do what he tells you to do. In his name, the Lord loves those people. And he wants to set them free. He loves them. We were out in the world at one time, and he brought us in, and we are here in this privileged position, but now he wants us to go and tell people about him. The next point is it's not a matter of faith, but in his name. Again, it says these signs will follow those in Mark chapter 16, 17, 18. In my name, these signs will follow. So it doesn't say having faith, but rather you believe in his name, and you will see God come through. So it takes boldness, as I said earlier, to do these things in his name. So don't give mental assent to these things and think, oh, it is right, but believe it and start to do that. Next point, this covenant that we've been placed in is a surety of a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. So much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. See, behind the name is a covenant, is an agreement. And Jesus gives a guarantee for this. You and I are not meant to stand surety for anyone, for any loans or any monies or things. Nothing. You don't do that, people. And can I even say to you, when the bank wants you to stand surety for your car and stuff like that, say, no, I don't do that. If they want your business, they will make a plan. Really, we've done that before, and they've wavered that thing. They've got to go high up the level. But if you stand your ground and say, I don't sign a surety, because too many people have been hurt through surety. People have lost everything because of a surety, because there's no control about things. Don't. Bible tells you don't sign surety. But Jesus stands surety to his covenant. He guarantees it. Now, I'm telling you now, that there's if I was a businessman and I had to do business, I would do business with Jesus. Because look at that. He guarantees his covenant, and he guarantees, because his covenant guarantees his name, is nothing safer. It's like a double covenant. It's so strong. And the devil knows that. But do you know that? That this name that God has actually given you to use has such authority and such a legal standing before God that you have this name to actually use. Now go and use it. Go and use it. There were some Christians in America, they were praying, and in the area there was a lot of felt fires, or brush fires as they call them there, and the fire brigades couldn't put them out, but they realized they were in such trouble that they needed help. So these people were unbelievers, so they ran to these church people that were having a prayer meeting, and these people believed, and they were interceding at that time, and they prayed for them, went to them to pray, and they said they prayed, and they got the peace that God had answered the prayer. And they had such an assurance that it was in the morning when they went to give the request, and they went back and said, by 10 o'clock tonight, that fire, it will begin to rain, and that fire will start to be put out. So these unbelievers went home, and him and his wife were conversing. They've got to bed, and she'd even put the washing out, and then they were laughing, and these Christians praying, you know, God doesn't answer prayer. So 9:30, they looked out, and there was the moon in the sky, and they went to sleep. And at 10 o'clock, the lightning started to come, and the thunder started to come, and it started to rain. And they got the shock of their lives. They realized God answers prayer. And you have the same authority to do that. So then I want to just get to this place, is that I believe we are a praying church. I believe we are a church, a people that seek the Lord. But are we a church that prays to seek results from our prayers? And I just, as an observation, I see we can get caught up in the work of prayer, but not always in the believing of prayer to get results. And I really do believe is that we need to get into this God business, that God demands, when he gives something, he demands a return. And in the same way, when he's in the business of prayer, I believe that we find that God answers prayer. And I want to just say is that we need to do some soul searching. And I look at myself and saying, we need to see more answered prayer. Really, I really do believe that. We need to see more answered prayer. If God is in this business, and if you're in a business and you're running and you're not making profit, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Because that's how you plan the thing, and then there's a return. God wants a return. And if God said it, we'll answer. And we need to look at what are the hindrances and what are we doing wrong. And it might be the way we're praying. Not because we're praying, but we might not be praying with, you know, in the name of Jesus. And there's some other prayers, types of prayers I'm going to lead you into. But I'm just saying, we need to be praying for results. it's a promise that God gives us. We must trust him to get these results. And I want to just say to you today is that I want to encourage you. Let's believe that our God can do the miraculous. He can do these wonderful things as we pray to him. Now, I hope you've been encouraged today. This is the first part of three. That the start of something incredible to take place in your life. And I think we need to be ordered in our prayers. And a lot of you have got requests, but I think you need to go and get a request list for, and I'm not trying to put this as about requests, but I'm just saying if you're going to get, we're going to believe God, go and put that order down and put those things, and whatever it's 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, the things that, not just trusting God, but ask him. Have you asked him? That's the question. You know, the Lord challenged me. There was something that I was trusting God for, but the Lord stirred me and said, yeah, I know you're trusting me, but have you asked me? Have you asked me? And like Jesus said, they said to the Lord, teach us to pray. It was only when they asked him that he taught them. So that seems in our wonderful nature of who our Father is, he expects us to ask. Now, my dear son, he found this out very quickly with his parents. And when it came to birthdays and Christmas, that list was like that. Dad, I want that. We can't always fulfill that. Remember that, Nikki? Hey? Child's heart. Our heart also. God doesn't mind that heart in doing things. But have we forgotten to ask? Have we forgotten to ask? And I'm guilty too, because we get busy and we believe God's our Father and he will just provide for us. But have we taken time to ask? And get personal. You know, if you go shopping, ladies, if you like, I don't know, you want a pink dress, ask for that pink dress. Ask for the very specific things. You're looking for a shoe or something specific that you need. God will come through. Then I remind you of Yonggi Cha after the Second World War, when South Korea was in a difficult place and he wanted a bicycle, and the Lord said to him specifically, what do you want? He said, no, I want one of those American bicycles, but I want it to be yellow. And the only bicycles that you got there were the Chinese ones there, and they were black. And he asked for a yellow American one. And God answered his prayer. He got a I think it was, I can't remember the American bicycle name, but he got a yellow bicycle that God gave him. And I want to just say, your Father loves you. He loves you. But work together with him. And then it's not only just for our personal needs, but again, as we work together as a church, as we influence this community, and as we influence this city, as we influence this nation and the nations of the earth. Psalm 2:8, ask of me, and I will give you the nations. Isn't that incredible? God will give us the nations. And I'm telling you, that's in our inheritance, I believe, as a people here. We continue to work into the nations. But that's not only mine, it's ours. And you're part of that, that God gives us the nations. And, you know, that's where God opens our expanse. He'll give us the nations. Not to take control of the nation, but to bring the gospel to the nations. And see people come to Christ in the fullness of that. Isn't this incredible? I think this is good news personally. I want to jump because it's such good news. And I want you to grab hold of this, because I'm telling you now, it's not the end. We're not going down. We're not the Titanic, and we're not sinking. And we're all going to die. We're on the ship. Hallelujah. And we are going forward. We're in that armada, and we're going to take the kingdom by force. And we're going to do great exploits for the Lord, because he's with us and he's for us, and he'll never forsake us. This is what God's declared over us, and we're going to do it together. Amen. Can I pray with you? Father, we just thank you for the encouragement today that you've brought to us. And so often we live below the mark. But Lord, bring us up to that place of your divine promises that you've given to us. Lord, every one of us, Father, take us into the depths of your kingdom. And Lord, teach us to pray that we'll be effective and we'll get results from our prayers. But Father, before we go further, I want to ask your people, is there anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Is anyone here today that you've heard this message and you want to recommit your life to the Lord because you know that... You're not following him. You know about him, but you may be giving your heart some time ago, but you're actually not following him. But you want to follow him, and I'm asking you to be like a child. And if anyone here today and you realize that you've drifted and you've backslidden, and you want to come closer back to the Lord, if there's anyone here today, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Okay. Is there anyone here today who would like to make a recommitment to the Lord? Anyone here? Thank you, Lord, for that hand. Anyone else? Father, we just pray for that individual, and we thank you, Lord, as you're calling us closer to you. We thank you, Lord, to establish faith again, the simplicity of being a child and you being the Father, and to be able to follow you and to do these wonderful, simplistic things, but powerful in you now. And we release your grace upon that lady now in Jesus' name. And then Sally realized there's someone here that might have a thyroid issue. Anyone who's got a thyroid that God wants to heal? Anyone with thyroid? Anyone that you know of that's got thyroid issues that we can pray for? For yourself or for someone else? For you. Well, let's gather around Kathy and let's lay hands. Who else is it? Edel, also you? Let's gather around them. Let's lay hands, as the Bible tells us, for yourself. Let's lay hands. Let's gather around and I'll pray. Let's put hands upon them, please. Just gather around. This is, and Renette, could you just gather around Renette also, please? Lord, your word is true. You've just instructed us today, Lord, to lay hands on the sick in your name, and they will get well, they will recover. So, Lord, we do that in obedience to you and to your authority of your word. We lay hands on the sick, And we declare those thyroid issues broken, cast out, free, liberated, and total healing to those bodies now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, and thank you for answering our prayers now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if there's anyone here today, you've sensed that the power of God, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you believe this is your time, that you're thirsting and hungering for that, and you'd like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. After I did miss the meeting, will you come to the front, and we'd love to pray with you, because I want to tell you, this thing of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is the most transforming thing that ever took place, apart from me coming to know Christ. Is when people prayed for me, it was nothing to do with me, but God came by the power of His Holy Spirit and it transformed me and gave me His power to follow Christ. It was the thing that changed me forever and ever. It's still today. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to ask you, please come after Him. Don't run away. Don't be scared of Him. This is not something to dupe you or to hurt you. This is to set you free and to take you into fullness of Christ. If you want that, you know, the Bible says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you hunger for that, if you don't hunger for it, well, I can't do anything for you. But if you hunger and thirst for it and you want it, please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you and see God do something wonderful in your life. And if that's you, please come to the front. Don't run away. Don't get distracted now. This is not something to embarrass you. This is something to set you free and take you further in Christ. Amen. God bless you all. Come and fellowship together. There's tea and coffee at the top there. And those that are visitors amongst us, please come and have a free cappuccino. So those we want to pray for, please come to the front. We'd love to bless you and pray with you. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous.